Mankind is shockingly not a positive one. It is the Cain and Abel story. It is the story in which Cain kills his brother Abel, and then just like Adam blamed Eve and Eve blamed the serpent, Cain kind of says, am I my brother's keeper? And most of the time I hear people quote that Bible verse. What they want the answer to be there is, no, you are not your brother's keeper. Guess what? The answer there is, yes, you are your brother's keeper. And from that moment on, violence continues to perpetrate the world. And should that shock us? Do we still see violence within human? Do we still struggle to treat each other as though we are made in God's image? Absolutely. And now I'm going to blow your mind, I hope. This story of Noah, at its heart, is a recreation story. So there's a few fundamental concepts that we need to grasp that Jews would understand very well. One is the significance of breath. That in the Hebrew, in the very beginning of Genesis 1, it is the breath of God, the Spirit of God, but it's the same word, the breath of God that goes across the dark waters. It is the breath of God that is given to Noah to give him life. And so breath is really, really important. Amen? Still is 2,000s of years later. Anyone try to live without it? Doesn't work real well. Breath, spirit is fundamental to the story. The other thing that we have to remember is for Jews, the term water is a term that is chaos. And so in Genesis 1, when God looks at the chaos, what does he do? He separates the waters, sky, what we would call water today, that there's significance in that symbolism of that's what God does. He steps into the chaos of waters, separates them, breathes into them, and brings forth life. What happens in the Noah story? In the Noah story, the earth is there. How does God destroy it? He reintroduces the water, the chaos. He destroys the world by reintroducing the chaos. And then what's he do to bring back life? Separates it again. See, we don't think about this because this is in our experience. Do you know how many times there's conversation about rain and storms before the flood? Zero. The indication is that the earth and plants got watered by rivers and streams. So for Noah, the idea of rain would have been shocking. And as we read through this story, we should remind ourselves that Noah was not prepared to see these things. We will also notice at the very end of the story, just like in Genesis 1, very similar phrases are used. What does God tell Adam and Eve in the very beginning? Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Guess what he tells Noah to do after he gets off the ark? Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. There's a difference, though, between these two stories. In Genesis 1, there's a statement that you will have dominion over the animals. Here, the fear and dread of you will be on the animals. It is a new creation that is not, by the way, as pleasant as the first creation. And this is how it ends in Genesis 8, starting at the 15th verse, going to the 17th verse of chapter 9. God spoke to Noah, "Go out of the ark, you and your wife, your sons and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you all the animals of every kind, birds, livestock, everything crawling on the ground, so that they may populate the earth, be fertile, and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out of the ark with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives, all the animals, all the livestock, all the birds, and everything crawling on the ground came out of the ark by their families. Noah built an altar to the Lord. He took some of the clean large animals and some of the clean birds and placed entirely burnt offerings on the altar. The Lord smelled the pleasing scent, and the Lord thought to himself, "I will not curse the fertile land anymore because of human beings, since the ideas of the human mind are evil from their youth. I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. As long as the earth exists, seed time and harvest, cold and hot, summer and autumn, day and night will not cease. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fertile, multiply, and fill the earth. All of the animals of the earth will fear you and dread you. All the birds in the skies, everything crawling on the ground, and all of the sea's fish, they are in your power. Everything that lives and moves will be your food. Just as I gave you the green grasses, I now give you everything. However, you must not eat meat with its life, its blood in it. I will surely demand your blood for human life. From every living thing I will demand it. From humans, from a man for his brother, I will demand something for human life. Whoever sheds human blood, by a human his blood will be shed. For in the divine image, God made human beings. As for you, be fertile and multiply. Populate the earth and multiply in it. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I'm now setting up my covenant with you, with your descendants, and with every living being with you, with the birds, with the large animals, and with all the animals of the earth. Leaving the ark with you, I will set up my covenant with you, so that never again will all life be cut off by the flood waters. There will never again be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, this is the symbol of the covenant that I'm drawing up between me and you and every living thing with you, on behalf of every future generation. I have placed my bow in the clouds. It will be the symbol of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow appears in the clouds, I will remember the covenant between me and you and every living being among all the creatures. Floodwaters will never again destroy all creatures. The bow will be in the clouds, and upon seeing it, I will remember the enduring covenant between God and every living being of all the earth's creatures. God said to Noah, this is the symbol of the covenant that I've set up between me and all creatures of the earth. Would you pray with me? Father, help us to breathe deep of your presence this morning. Father, as we pursue your presence, it would be words, your words that are proclaimed and heard for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So what is the Noah story really offer to us? The first thing I love about this story is that faith here trusts God even when we don't understand. Because think about this. If you're Noah, the most you've seen is a river, and probably not the biggest river in the world. It might have been the Euphrates River. I mean, a substantial river, but a river that certainly would not need an enormous boat. Amen? You've never seen rain. You've never seen a flood. And God says to you, build this enormous boat. What would your first question be? Why? What is rain? What is flood? This sounds like the craziest idea ever. Amen? And yet, what's he do? I love that the Barry read it at the very end. It said, God did everything Noah did everything God asked of him. That's faith, amen? See, it's easy to say to people, oh, I have faith. Oh, I believe. It's tough to build the boat. It'd be easy for Noah to say, well, I believe that voice I heard was God. But you knew he believed it when he started to do what? Build that boat. And sometimes in modern America, we act like faith is just about our words and our statements. And I'm going to tell you, your words and statements in Scripture are not as big an indicator of your faith as what you do with those words and statements. When you start building that boat, then I believe that you believe what you said you believe. Amen? that we have to understand that God doesn't always give us the full roadmap, and that's okay, because all we need to do is what? What God's asked us to do next. Now, if you're like me, I'm a planner in life. I really want God to give me the roadmap, amen? I want to know where my end destination is before I begin my journey. I don't want to get into my car and say, I'm randomly going to drive somewhere and hope it's the right place. That's not where faith is or how it leads us. That faith trusts that God knows what he's doing, even when we don't understand. You know, when I got my call into ministry, my biggest question was, why? Why me? I already had my life planned out, and it was a good plan. By worldly standards, it would be a godly plan. I could have benefited the earth. I could have served God doing what I wanted to do. The question was, why? I didn't understand. Every single person I lived with in that house seemed to have a deeper and longer faith than I did. And yet God called me, and it would have been really easy for me to say, well, God, I believe you, but instead of saying, okay, what's the next step? I kind of wonder, would I have kept going on had I realized that the next step meant 6 more years of being in college, amen? Because when you're 19, knowing that you're going to spend 6 more years going to school seems like an eternity. But that's not what God offered. You just take that next step. That's what faith is. I know God is going to call you to do something and you're not going to understand. And what I want you to do is what? Do it anyway. I don't want you to be somebody who says, but I don't understand. I'll wait until God tells me the whole picture. Because if Noah waited till the rain started coming down, what would have happened? He'd have drowned too. We need to be willing to say, okay, and I'm stepping out in faith. I've never seen rain. I've never seen floods. God said build a big boat. I'm building a big boat. Amen? We cannot hesitate to go as God directs, even if we don't understand why he's directing in that way. The second thing is that God is always faithful in his covenant. We have lost the idea of covenant in our society. We will learn in the Abraham story what covenant genuinely means. But in the Abraham story, we get this image for what a covenant is. Abraham is told to cut animals in half. It's a beautiful story, amen? And he cuts them in half, not the easy way, because if you told me to cut an animal in half, I'm going this way because it seems quick, right? He was told to do it in the middle so it would be a symmetrical animal, line them up on a path, and then you walk through the animal carcasses and you say, if I fail, may the same thing happen to me. Anyone want to see that marriage ceremony? Where you both walk through deceased animals? That is what covenant is. It is meant to be taken with the utmost of seriousness. And so when God put that covenant together, was there any and should there be any doubt that God would be true to his word? And that's what the rainbow is to remind us of. That every time we see that rainbow, that God is faithful to his covenant. And this covenant is one-sided. Amen? Does he give any obligation to Noah or to the animals in this covenant? Nope. He simply says, I will never destroy the earth by water again. How many of you want to do a marriage covenant with one that's only one-sided? And yet that's what God does. And here's where I think that's a really valuable lesson for us, is it's a reminder that God's covenants, his faithfulness, is far greater than our faith. That there may be times when we fail to fulfill our end of the covenant, but in Christ, his covenant with us is secure and steadfast. That's why Paul's willing to write, nothing in all of creation will separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, because that's God's covenant to us. And even though we fail in our covenants, God does not fail in his covenants. But I think maybe the most important thing about the Noah story is that it reminds us that God is capable of recreating. So I was thinking about this a lot over the past couple days, and there's two things that I thought about with new creation. This morning, I kind of flipped which one I wanted to focus on, because there is a part in Revelation where fire this time is used to destroy the earth, and the new creation looks much more like the original creation in Genesis 1. There's no more death. There's no more destruction. There's just love and peace. Sounds like a great place to go, amen? And one thing I remind people, because people will say to me, well, Rob, do you think it's almost the end of the age? Do you think God's coming back? I have no idea, but my end of age could come at any minute, amen? And that's the one I worry about. I'm not so worried about, is everyone's end of time coming? I need to be prepared for mine, because mine almost definitively is, and relatively shortly. But the good news is, I don't believe when I die, it's over. I believe I become a new creation. But as I reflected upon that, I realized something. This, at its heart, is the promise of Jesus Christ. Amen? So a few weeks ago, we baptized kids. We made sure we did it by immersion. Think about the imagery there. Because the statement is, you die to yourself and you raise up. And what do we use? Water, which is chaos. It is the death and now a recreation. And how many stories talk about the fact that as Christians, we are not told that we are to live in our Adam lives the rest of our lives. I get so frustrated when people have made mistakes, and what they'll say to me is, but I'm just human. And I say to him, but you are called to be a child of God, and you have become a new creation in Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to stop excusing our behavior and taking the power and authority God's given to us to be new creations. That this story is a reminder that God's powerful enough to get rid of the old and rebuild with the new. And that's what Christ offers to us. He offers to us a new creation right now. I don't have to wait till I die in order for God's presence to be made known to me. Amen? And thank God for that. I can experience God's presence and His power right now because of what Jesus Christ did. And that whole resurrection for Paul is counted as a glimpse to the new creation that is to come. And so when I read this story, I want to remind myself that the good news is God loves me enough not to just leave me stuck in that awful, violent, angry world that He's called me out of. Amen? But He's willing to bury it all and to rebirth me and give me new creation. See, the challenge we have is it's really easy for us, and I imagine it was really easy for Noah, to look at the violence of the world and decide we're going to be what? Violent. It's hard for us to say, God, overwhelm me. Pour your floods over me. Make me a new creation in Christ. That I will be your peacemaker. I will bring your love and your grace out. I will be the righteousness of Noah in an unjust world. I will be the man who speaks to a new creation. As we close in worship this morning, let us remind ourselves that the heart of the gospel message is that Christ offers us to be a new creation. He doesn't say, I love you just as you are, and I hope you stay there. He says, I love you just as you are, and I want to create you new, better, stronger, more loving, more kind than you were before. Let us breathe deep of that presence. Let us be created anew in the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me?